All right, you're back with us on the Rookie and the Vet podcast. We are interviewing Ray Martinez today. And man, I got to gain my composure after that last segment, all those funny stories. And I actually thought of one more story that I would be remiss if we didn't talk about this story, especially Nick, since you're Italian and you come from an Italian family. I think that you'll really get a kick out of this story. So I wanted to make sure that we didn't not share this story. So on this trip, the baseball trip, when we were in New York City, we're all big pasta fans. We all love pasta, anything Italian food, man. We're all over that stuff, right? I mean, when you got a bunch of guys that the average weight in the van was probably like 275, like, of course, you know that we like pasta and all things Italian food, right? So we said, hey, let's go down to Little Italy and find a restaurant. So we find this joint, a little small, like off the beaten path. Like, it wasn't a food chain store or anything at all like that. It was just a small, like, authentic Italian restaurant. And it was one of those things where you walk in and there's hardly anybody in there. There's maybe one or two people sitting in there, and they had like this big TV monitor up by the cash register that had all of the security cameras in the place. And at one point, you look and you're like, you see in the kitchen that in the prep area, there's like a dude standing back there, and there's like just this gun just randomly sitting on like the food prep area. And you look at it, and you're like, wait a minute, did I really just see that? And yeah, we actually really just saw that. But the part of it that's really the kicker is they had like this really nice wallpaper on one side of the building. And then on the other side of the building, they had all of these pictures of all the old gangsters and all the old Italian people. And, you know, they, Sinatra and, you know, that whole era, and that whole, what you would think you would see when you walk into an authentic Italian establishment like this. Right. So Ray's looking at all these pictures and looking at all these pictures, and he comes to this one picture and he goes, hey guys, look at this guy, Butch the Rat. And we're like, Ray, you realize that says Butch the Hat, right? And he's like, oh, it does? Oh, I thought it said Butch the Rat. Well, the funny part of this whole story is that of all nights, of any night that we possibly could have gone into this restaurant, guess who was one of the only other two people sitting in the restaurant as Ray is yelling this as loud as he can to us up by the cash register?
I'm going to guess Butch the Hat was in the restaurant that evening.
You guessed correctly. You guessed correctly. So, Ray, what happened from there?
Well, it's funny because I'm showing you on the screen. There's the pictures at La Mela there. Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
Wow.
So what happened was that, let me backtrack a little bit, David. I had actually eaten at this restaurant before with my family, and I've been there a couple of times, and I said, hey, I know of a great restaurant before we head to Washington, D.C. We're hungry. It was actually like 1 o'clock in the morning because we had just left Shea Stadium seeing the Mets. So we're heading toward Washington, D.C. New York is the best place in the world for Italian food, any type of food, 24/7. So we go to La Mela was the name of the restaurant. So we see looking at all the pictures, and I go, oh, look, Butch, you know, Butch the Rat. But the light was shining on the picture, and the R, it didn't look like. So all of a sudden, the guy's sitting over there, and he goes, he heard us talk, and he goes, it's not Butch the Rat, it's Butch the Hat. And all of a sudden, the guy got pissed off. He got up and walked out of the restaurant. And now they're looking at me like, oh, man, you pissed this guy off. Well, the guy leaves. We don't hear anything. So we finish up our dinner. I had just driven to La Mela restaurant. And so it was Sean's turn to drive. So I had given the keys. And then all of a sudden, as we're getting ready to walk out of the restaurant, he throws the keys back to me. I says, what are you doing? I've already driven. It's your turn. He goes, hey, look, you see that guy? You've just pissed him off. I've seen way, way, way too many episodes of The Sopranos. He probably put a freaking car bomb underneath the car, and he says, you start the car. If it happens to start, then we're good to go. If not, we're out of here. I'm going, oh, great. You guys are my friends, and you guys are doing this to me, the senior member here. You know, it just, they kind of let me down a little bit, you know, that they were going to let me start the car. And if the thing would have blown up, oh, well, you know, it's your SOL, basically, you know. So, but that was a fun night.
I think we laughed about that for at least 7 straight days. It was just, I mean, here we're still laughing and carrying on about it. And I don't even know what lesson comes out of that other than be careful what you call people, especially authentic Italian people. Be careful what you call them. But at the end of the day, you know, it's those kind of memories, and it's those kind of experiences at life that are so important and so necessary to have a full sense of fulfillment in life. And I think that's what those experiences have really helped provide me. And, you know, I used to always tell my children that for me, I didn't really necessarily want to buy them things, you know, like, yeah, you know, I got them toys and stuff like that, but I really wanted to give them experiences. I really wanted to give them the opportunity to go do things and go experience things that really give them an opportunity to experience the things that I was experiencing. And I was just very fortunate and have been very fortunate to be in the position to have them be able to come to different things with me throughout the years. And I hope that that's built a stronger sense of the understanding and the necessity of being in the moment and being in the experience when you have the opportunity to do it.
Well, you know, I got to tell you that every time I've been to La Mela, I've been there 4 different times. I've always had a great experience. It's in Little Italy, down in Manhattan and in New York. The food is great. But I can tell you the first time I went there with my wife and my stepdaughter and her boyfriend, they serve family style. I didn't know what family style was. The waiter says, everything's family style here, so you get what we bring you. They brought us the food, and you want antipasta? Sure. Then they brought us, you know, regular pasta. Next thing you know, I see people at the other table eating the meat, the sausage and meatballs and veal parmesan and chicken parmesan. And I'm going, my God, I'm so full already. The guy comes over at the waiter and he says, here's your check. And I says, check? What are you giving me a check for? I thought you said it was family style. I thought we're family here. But he said, no, you got to pay for the bill, you know. So the thing was this is I've been there with my father. We had some wine. We had a great time. I went there with Joe Staniszewski. You know, we went there after the World Series in 2016. Every time I've had great memories with La Mela. So it's a plug for them. I got to tell you, it's a great restaurant. You know, so
this segment, by the way, was brought to you by La Mela Restaurants. Just kidding. It really wasn't. But if you're ever in New York City in Little Italy, you definitely should go there. Just be careful when you're reading off the names and make sure the lighting is just right so you read the right names on the exactly. Photos.
Like San Giamo.
Ah, yes. I'm truly sponsored by that. No, I'm just kidding. For 15% off. No.
what's your coupon code?
San Gemma, the Italian 15.
Hey, and I do DoorDash. I'll deliver.
Yeah, DoorDash, Uber Eats, all of them. Yeah.
All right, Ray. Well, let's get a little bit into a little bit more serious conversation here too, because we've definitely had a lot of fun reminiscing, and I think there's a lot of lessons that can come from that. But a lot of what I've learned from you is about, you know, being a better person, being a better man to my family, being better to my staff, being better to my friends, being better to people that I don't even know. And both of us have been really fortunate to be very successful in this industry. But one of the lessons that you taught me, and really, really simple phrase, don't believe your own press clippings. And I remember when you told me about that, and that's always stuck with me. And that's always been something that I've always tried to pass on to other people that I've met that have asked me to mentor them or have just asked me for advice. And that is a piece of advice that I can proudly say to you that I've continued to pass on to other people about, you know, just don't believe your own press clippings. And that means that when people really, really, really build you up, don't get a big head about it. And when people really, 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 really knock you down, don't lose your shit about it. Like, just be who you are, believe in who you are, and you'll go a lot of places in this world. You've written several books, but one of the books that you've really written that I would love to talk about, and I'd love to have you expand on the premise of the book, some of the principles of the book, is your book, Music from My Heart, Orchestrating Your Business and Your Life. This is just very important right now, especially for a lot of small business owners out there who are really struggling. You know, you turn a TV on all the time, and you know, and again, I'm not getting political, but you turn a TV on and you hear all this discussion about small business, small business, small business. But there's a lot of smaller businesses, we'll say, that really, really, really are struggling. And I think there's some basic principles that if these principles can be understood in a time of challenge, they will allow you to really shine when the opportunity allows you to do so.
Yeah, David, thank you. You know, it's funny that you mentioned about that, because right now during this COVID-19 situation, you know, the government is offering businesses these loans that don't necessarily have to be paid back. And, you know, I'm from the old school, and you know, I think that and this is just my opinion only, that, you know, today's generation, they've been going through a generation of entitlement. They think that everything is owed to them. You know, I remember several years ago, it's been, I think now 11 years since Hurricane Katrina. And I was asked by my friend Mike Morales down in Houston, Texas, to go help the victims of Hurricane Katrina. And, you know, I remember we were down at the Houston Astrodome and we were providing water for people. And this one gentleman was complaining that he did not get his government check of $1,100 or whatever they were going to. And another gentleman, an older man, came up to him and, you know, forgive me for being a little blunt, but this, I'm quoting him. He said, you know, the government don't owe you shit. Because what happens is this young guy thought that, hey, I'm going to get my money and I was going to go out and buy some new Nikes, or I'm going to go buy a Game Boy or something like that. People don't use the money that they need it for. You know, they needed to feed their families, or instead of going buying some liquor or cigarettes and stuff like that, people don't use the money the right way. You know, they feel that they're entitled, you know, and the government doesn't owe you anything. You know, you have to work hard for it, you know. But in order to understand and learn these principles, you know, in my book, I talk about who's your circle of influence. Thank you for the compliment about, you know, what you mentioned about that, what you learned from what I had to tell you. But, you know, you have to get around a group of people that are going to influence you in a positive manner. Part of that, you know, the building the influence or being around people who can influence your life as well as your business, part of that has to do with building your character and your integrity. You know, if you don't have character, you don't have integrity, you don't have anything. Your word is your bond. That's what's going to keep you in business. You know, Nick, for example, in the photography business, let's say you charge a client $1,500, but then you realize that you took a lot more pictures than maybe they bargained for. But then if you try to upsell them after you quoted them a price, that's not really ethical. You know, you have to be able to stick with your price. If you took 200 more pictures than they asked for, then give them to them. I mean, right. You know, because that's going to, you know, it's going to be something that you did above and beyond that what was called for in your contract.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show your character integrity, because you care. You have to discern what is right from wrong. You know, and a lot of people, they try to cut corners just to make a buck. And I've always said that it's nice to be liked, but it's always better to be trusted. If people trust you, they're going to do business with you. if they don't trust you, you might as well, you know, throw it all out the window. But that's all part of building that trust, is working on your character and working on your integrity.
And I think you bring up a good point there, because oftentimes people will ask me, you know, what do you think the key to your success is? And what do you think the key to being successful in business is? And I always tell people, and Nick, I know you've heard me say this to people before, super simple. It's the basic principle of people do business with people that they know, like, and trust. And if you have not created the foundation of giving somebody an opportunity to know you, to like you, and to, most importantly, trust you, and even if they don't quote unquote like you, but at least they trust you and they know you, you know, so in other words, you don't have to be best friends, you can be business colleagues, then you're going to sit there and continue to keep scratching your head. You're going to continue to keep pounding your head on the wall and wondering why this person is not putting you on their preferred vendor list. Why this person is not, think about when you see on social media, maybe like on Facebook, where somebody says, I'm having an event at fill the blank in date at fill in the blank place, and I'm looking for a photographer. And then everybody that knows them starts listing off all these photographers. And then you look at that list and you're like, well, hell, I know those people. Why didn't any of them say my name? And it goes back to that same basic principle of, you broke down somewhere in the process of making sure that those three things were in place. Yeah, they know you, but maybe they don't trust you yet. Maybe you haven't given them enough reason to understand who you are, and using that example, who you are behind the camera, not just what your work looks like when you doctor it up and make it look pretty and put it out there for everybody in the world to see, but who you really are behind the camera. And 9 times out of 10, that's the reason why your name is not being mentioned in that list by people that you say you know.
And part of that is about building relationships. You know, if you don't build a relationship with the people, they're not going to know who Nick the photographer is, not just your line of work, but they have to get to know you better. And once they start seeing that you're doing things with integrity, you have to back it up and say, I really do this. Don't just talk about it. You know, you really have to, you know, put your money where your mouth is.
I think trust is so important, and it's so overlooked, especially in my generation, where, you know, it's like Instagram and internet and like all my internet friends and this and that, you know, trust, you know, how do you trust someone you're 3,000-4,000 miles away from? But you still have to, as a small business owner here locally, like, it's so important that trust is at the forefront of that. I really believe that your business is an extension of who you are as a person, and those values and those traits that you have, if you're a trusting person and you have integrity and character, that continues to shine through in your business. So I'd like to believe that. I hope it's true.
Well, the thing too, Nick, is that when you do that consistently over a period of time, and like I said, I've been doing this for 46 years now, it actually builds your legacy, and you want to be able to leave your legacy behind. I know your last podcast you did with Carol Kessler, and she talked about her late husband Bruce, and David, I remember you mentioned that in the podcast, of what a difference that Bruce made in our lives, you know. And that's what happens, that's what we talk about, leaving a legacy behind, leaving a difference, making a difference in people's lives. It's not what you charge or anything. It's how you make people feel, you know.
Yeah.
And you take care of those people. You look out after them. I think one of the really most important things that I've shared with a lot of people, whether you're a photographer, DJ, minister, a videographer, a wedding coordinator, whatever it may be, now David and I were in the quote unquote entertainment industry. However, overall in the wedding business, we are in the service industry, which means we're here to serve the people, not for them to serve us. When anybody learns that basic principle of service, and you serve the client, not for them to serve you, that's when you're going to be successful.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Definitely. Those are definitely, I've tried to take that service approach in my own business, and how I can help help them. It's not a, like, maybe it's not about me. I know David runs his business the same way. It's not about him. It's about the feeling that he gives the client and the bride or whoever he's DJing for. It's the feeling that he leaves them with. And it's just fantastic to see that kind of stuff for sure.
I think it's also important to remember that, you know, all of these principles that we are talking about, we're all in the event industry. As long as you listen to this podcast, you're always going to hear us referring to that because a lot of us are in the event industry, and a lot of our circle, as Ray is alluding to, a lot of our big circle are people that are somehow involved in the event industry. But these principles really apply to any business, any particular area of business that you're in, whether you're an owner, whether you're a manager, whether you're a, you know, mid-level, whether you're an employee, whether you just started yesterday, or whether you don't even have a job yet, you're still filling out applications. It doesn't matter. Like, all of these principles still apply to, just like the title of what, you know, Ray's book says, orchestrating your business and your life. And I think it's very important to remember those things.
One of the things that I also believe, one of the principles in my book is about having faith. You've got to believe in yourself, you know, and it's been said that faith can move mountains. I have a quote in my book where Martin Luther King Jr. said, faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase.
Mm.
And so you have to be able to say, I'm going to do this. Nick, you alluded to earlier about meeting your hero. And you're probably thinking to myself, maybe because you're still a young man and a rookie to the business. But the thing is this, you have to look at the overall picture. What is it going to take for you to get to that point of what you would consider success? As I look at the backdrop behind you, the Golden Gate Bridge, when they were building that bridge, it took time. They were looking across from one side to the other. How are we going to get from here to there? And they probably thought it was impossible to do that. But look at that beautiful expansion bridge that they did. And it's withstood the time for almost 100 years now, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to be able to look at the overall picture. How can I get from point A to point B and be a success at doing it? But a lot has to do with faith, you know.
I'm not always one of these people that says I believe in signs and things like that, but as we're doing this Zoom call, and anybody who has been on a Zoom call or familiar with virtual backgrounds, and you can put pictures behind you, and you know, there's some of the ones that are already built in, but a lot of times people will kind of come up with their own. And I just find it very ironic that Nick does have the Golden Gate Bridge behind him, because San Francisco is another place that Ray and I did an event together in, and we just had an absolute blast in San Francisco. And actually, pretty much the view of this photo behind Nick, I can really vividly picture standing in the place looking in the same direction that this photo was taken, almost as if I was holding that camera to take that picture, Ray, when you were with me on this trip. And it's just, yeah, so Ray's showing us those pictures right now. For those of you who obviously can't see it, but we're trying to share in these pictures with each other. So Nick, there's that trip. Beautiful. Right there that I'm talking about.
That's incredible.
About. Yeah, and it's just look at there. That's wow. Funny. That's so funny seeing
that's
those.
That's amazing.
But that was another one of those wonders of the world. That, and then when we were in Niagara Falls, Ray, if you remember when we were in Niagara Falls, I just remember going to Niagara Falls for the first time. And I know that wasn't the first time for you, but for me, it was the first time going there. And just the sheer power that you could feel and that you could hear from that water just flowing and flowing and flowing, and realizing just the incredible power that was in that. And it just reminds me of the power that all of us have within ourselves, if we're willing to tap into that power and we're willing to let that power work for us both professionally and personally in our lives.
Yeah, the power of your mind can do wonderful things. You know, Nick, last year, for example, I had quadruple bypass surgery, open heart surgery, and it was a scary situation. Honestly, I didn't want to do it. To be honest with you, I thought that I think I would rather die, because I didn't want to take the chance, you know, not knowing what was behind it. But my doctor gave me the assurance, my cardiologist gave me the assurance that everything was going to be okay. And the open heart surgery, he told me, was going to be a lot easier than my knee replacement that I had 5 years ago. And, you know, it was just the power, the believing that based on the trust that I had with my cardiologist and the team, they made me understand the procedure, but also they gave me that power of suggestion that I was going to be okay. In about a little over a week, it'll be my 1 year anniversary since my surgery. And I tell you what, I feel like $1 million. I feel a lot. I feel 30 years younger. I feel like I can do things more today than I did over a year ago. And but a lot has to do with the power of your mind and what you want to do with it. You have to believe in yourself.
100%.
So Ray, any other principles from the book maybe that you want to share with our listeners that that can just be helpful in this time of when people are really looking towards guidance and looking towards help to get to tomorrow and get to next week and get to a place where they can be confident that it's going to quote unquote be okay again?
Yeah, David, thank you for asking that. You know, the reason I titled my book Music from My Heart is that I have 12 chapters in the book, and each chapter is a title of a song. And then I have with it that corresponds a heart subject. For example, in chapter 6, the music title is Don't Stop Believing, A Journey. But the heart subject is having faith in a hopeless world. You know, part of that has to do with faith and you having to believe in yourself. If you happen to have a faith in God above, you know, if you have a spiritual faith, I would tell you to tap into that. The next one is Daydream Believer by the Monkees. That's the music subject, but the heart subject is getting started with your dreams. Expect to do well. You know, don't doubt yourself. You better expect that you're going to do things better than anybody else can out there. Chapter 8, I Will Survive, Gloria Gaynor. The heart subject is overcoming pressure. What I did in that chapter, I put together a bunch of positive words. I actually went through the entire Webster's Dictionary from A to Z, and I found positive words, uplifting words, encouraging words. And then what I've done is I've told people, take a look at a word like Nick. You know, if you happen to be, you know, I don't know if you go by Nick or Nicholas, you know, and if you, you know, go by Nick, then what you can do is look under the letter N and find a word that's encouraging for you. For example, you could be a name, a reputation or illustrious record. The I would be, let's say, inspiration, you know, under the influence of something inspired, you know, or integrity. So basically what you're doing is you're spelling out your mantra of who you are, what you stand for, you know, and that's what I did is spell out my name, Raymar, and use the words that best describe how I want to run my business and my life, you know. Chapter 10, Expressway to Your Heart is a song. The heart subject is forgiveness. A lot of times we tend to beat ourselves up of things that have happened in the past. You know, you have to forgive yourself. You know, once you get past what happened yesterday, you can move forward to tomorrow. There's the great Susie Orman, the financial author, that she said that you can't go through life driving your car looking through the rearview mirror because you're going to crash. You have to focus on the life or on the road ahead of you in order to get to your destination. And then chapter 11 is Looks Like We Made It, Barry Manilow. And the heart subject is the sweetness of success. You know, 99% of the people fail because they make excuses. You cannot make excuses. You have to be held accountable for your own actions. And if you do that, if you make a mistake, admit to it. And you'll not only get the respect from your peers, from your clients, but you're going to have self-respect. That's most important, that you have self-respect. And then the The last one is "And the Beat Goes On" by Sonny and Cher. And, you know, the heart subject is back to life and making a difference, you know, and it's time to start not only making a difference for yourself, but for your clients and your future clients and to your neighborhood, you know. Start with your neighbors, you know. In order to be successful in business, you have to start at home. You know, you have to have a solid reputation at home, because when you wind up having a family, your children as well as your spouse is going to be looking up to you for guidance. And in order to be the guiding principle in your family, it has to start at home.
Absolutely. Those are great points. I love every single thing that you mentioned right there. I really like the NAME acronym. I would actually challenge our listeners to go and try to do that. You know, I'm already trying to think out, man, how would I spell my name to align with my character and what I want to put back out into the world? So yeah, purchase the book, please.
I've got it all here.
Yeah, I would highly recommend. I want to give it a read for sure, but I would highly recommend to check out Raymar's book 100%.
Well, this has definitely been a lot of fun reminiscing and you know, thinking about the good old times, as we like to all call those things, and drawing some principles from those times and drawing not only some humor, but some lessons from those times. And then kind of getting into talking about the book and everything. And you can never have too much positivity in your life. You can never have too much inspiration in your life. You should always want to continue to keep filling up your inspiration tank. And even if you think it's full, put a little more in there, because you never know when the next inspiration stop is going to be. That exit might be 40 exits away. It may not be 5 exits away. So don't put yourself in a situation where your inspiration, when you need to draw and motivate yourself, because I remember sometime a while back, somebody, and I don't even remember who told me this, but talking about the difference between inspiration and motivation, and motivation comes from within. Nobody can motivate you to do anything. People can inspire you to do something, but they can't motivate you to do anything. And so if you're not allowing that inspiration tank to fill up so that when you need to tap into it to motivate yourself to get out of bed, to motivate yourself to figure out how to pivot the way you do things before COVID-19 and now after COVID-19 and even during COVID-19, if you don't have that source of inspiration, you're going to be in trouble. And so continue to keep finding those sources. Ray's book is a great source. Hopefully this podcast is a great source to our listeners, but there's so much out there. And then another point I would make is that when you're struggling with that, and when you're feeling like you've exhausted every opportunity, make sure you have somebody you can talk to, and probably not a family member, probably more so a friend, a confidant, a mentor, just somebody that you can talk to. But damn it, talk to somebody. Don't let what's going on right now, let what is ever going on engulf you and totally eat you up. Talk to somebody.
Well, I can say for sure that this conversation has been extremely inspiring for me, talking with Raymar and you, David, especially during this time. You know, I'm looking for inspiration to continue to, you know, keep going. And man, this has been a great conversation for sure. So, I mean, Raymar, thank you so much for being on with us. It's been really, really valuable.
I appreciate it. If I may just share a final thought with you guys, you know, I've got to admit to both of you, you know, I've been a little stir crazy with this COVID-19 being cooped up here for the last couple of months. And you know, David and Nick, I can't tell you how grateful I truly am for this opportunity to speak with you and your audience, because, you know, even though I've been in this business a long time, one of the things that I've always tried to come across, and I think, David, you know where I'm coming from on this, just because I have a bunch of accolades doesn't mean I'm any better than any of you. I'm a human being. I don't, as a matter of fact, I've mentioned this in many of my seminars, that I take the word competitor out of my vocabulary and I replace that with colleague, because that levels the playing field. Okay. Now, I'm just a regular human being. I'm not anybody, you know, special. I make mistakes every day. I will admit to both of you that, yeah, this has gotten me down, this COVID-19 thing. But because of this interaction tonight, this has actually inspired me now tomorrow to go get up and kick some ass tomorrow and get out there and go about my business. And I'm going to do it well. So, and the other thing I wanted to mention is based on what you said about reaching out to somebody. If you have a situation that you're going through and you can't talk to anybody, David knows, in what's today, Wednesday. So in two more days, May 1st will be the 4-year anniversary that I lost my son to suicide. And this is a tough time of the year for me every year in May, but I would tell you and echo those thoughts that if you do have a problem, please reach out. There's nothing that is that difficult that you can't to just throw in the towel. You know, life is so valuable. And when I tell you, I wish I had those moments that I could be with my son today. But I will reach out to anybody that needs, I don't care, 24/7. I'll give you my cell phone number. You can call me on my cell and reach out to me, and I'll be happy to talk to you and try to give you some encouragement and let you know that life is important, life is precious, and just have a faith. Don't ever lose hope, because if you've lost hope, you've lost everything. Just thank you so much for this platform. I'm very, very grateful to the both of you.
Well, thank you very much again, Ray, for joining us tonight. This has been, it's been laughs. It's probably been a few tears. It's been a good reality check. And it's been something that's very important for right now. But I don't even want to use right now as an excuse, because this stuff is important always, all day, every day. It's important. And just like Raymar said, Nick and I, with our podcast, that's what we want to do, is continue to provide content that will help inspire you, that will help you remember that whatever you want to accomplish in life, you can. It may not happen in the time frame that you want it to happen in, and there's probably a good reason if it doesn't, but you don't ever want to stop. You don't want to ever stop pursuing what you're going after in life. And when the times are challenging and the times get tough, that's when you count on people that you meet along the way. And you know, the old saying, you meet somebody for a reason, and sometimes you meet somebody for a season, and really hold on to those relationships. And don't take advantage of those relationships, but let those relationships build you and let those relationships shape you into who you're going to be next week, next year, 10 years from now, as you evolve as an individual. Without Ray, I don't feel like I would be who I am now. Without his influence on my life, I don't think I would be to where I'm at in life now. And I'm super, super privileged to be able to come full circle and have this conversation and share those things with him. Not that I want to blow his head up or kiss his ass or anything at all like that, but because I genuinely, from my heart, am thankful for what he's done in my life.
Thank you, David. If I could just leave you with your audience, my contact information, you can go to my website at www.raymarproductions.com, and my office number is 623-386-8891. I'm not here to judge anybody. Whatever you want to talk about, if I can keep it confidential, I'd be more than happy to do that. And like I said, if you'd like to get a copy of my book, it'll be on raymarproductions.com.
Well, thank you again, Ray, for joining us today. We'll make sure to put that contact information in the show notes so that people will be able to access that as well. Nick, you want to close us out for tonight?
Yeah, just thank you both to Raymar and David. You know, you guys have both been inspirational to me. It's been a really great conversation. You know, a lot of the things that, you know, David was saying about Raymar, you know, I really identify. You know, David's been very similar to me in that regard. So, you know, I'm just appreciative for everyone. I'm appreciative for this community that we have. And, you know, feel free to reach out if anyone wants to talk. But man, thank you guys so much. And hope everyone's doing well, man. God bless.